Good morning to y'all. Welcome to the Daily Inspiration this morning. This is Daniel King again. Would like to talk this morning a little bit as a continuation of yesterday morning. Yesterday morning we talked quite a bit on Jesus Christ coming in the flesh and what that all means and what it would be like or what it's like to deny that Jesus Christ came in the flesh and the dangers of not embracing that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. Before we go on to another topic, I would like to say here this morning that the Bible, there are many truths in the Bible, and if we do not balance one truth with another truth, we can become imbalanced in our view of truth. And I don't know how to do all of that, but I do know that we can be assured that Jesus gives us the power over sin. When we repent and when we live our lives for Him, we can live a life as He lived, as was talked about yesterday morning. But I had to think during the day yesterday as I was reflecting on what I shared there, is that we in our fallen nature, still having to deal with the flesh here, it seems that we have a battle against sin as long as we live. And even though there is a power given to us by Jesus Christ, by His life, by His resurrection power is given to us, we still battle with the flesh. As one minister explained it to me once, we have this war going on in our members. The spiritual side of us wants to serve God and is free to serve God, and has the power to serve God. But then there's the fleshly side of us who's warring against that and who is continually offering a fleshly perspective of everything that we do or think or perceive to do or plan to do. And so there's this constant war going on, and we are constantly making choices as Christians of whether we're going to choose to serve the Spirit of God or serve the flesh. And so my encouragement this morning is to the one lopsided part of that truth would be to just say, well, I'm living in the flesh. I can't live a life of sinless perfection. I know I'm going to make mistakes. So therefore, I know that I'm covered by the blood. And so, therefore, you just kind of continue going, and there's a nonchalant view of victory over sin. Because one reason is that, well, I can't overcome it anyway, and Jesus is going to forgive me, so let's go. And just, you know, live a life what's pleasing to the flesh. So, I would like to say that in 1 John here, 1 John 1, verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. So it's very clear here that if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, because Jesus how do we make him a liar? Well, it's because Jesus said that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, meaning that Jesus came to redeem the lost of Israel. Jesus came to redeem those that have sinned. And so if a number of the humans here on earth would say that they have not sinned, then Jesus would have no, they would have no need for Jesus, and Jesus would have not have needed to die for them. And so it's very clear here that if we say that if we have not sinned, we make him a liar. And also, what to do after we're a Christian and we trip up, or we sin, or we commit things that are an offense to God, or we grieve the Holy Spirit, or we hurt someone, or say something that was not appropriate, say things that hurt others, do things that hurt others, and all those things. And that's a little bit what I'd like to explain here this morning. In that 1 John chapter 2, it says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not." So John is saying, you know, that's the ideal. I mean, that's the goal, that we sin not, that we're filled with the power of God, that we live a life that is above sin. But that's not all that this verse says. It says, "And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." So that verse there explains how that Jesus is a priest unto us. In Hebrews it talks quite a bit about Jesus Christ being a priest, and what the priest did is he was an interceder between God and man. You would, in the Old Covenant, you would confess your sins to the priest, and he would do his sacrifices and his sprinklings and you know, all those things until it was properly taken care of. And with Jesus being the great high priest, he does that for us. When we do things that we know have violated the will of God, then we can come right back to the cross. Even though we're 15 years a Christian, we can come right back to the cross, and we can seek God for his mercy and forgiveness. And we can be healed and cleansed and made whole again from that offense by coming back to the cross, coming back to Jesus Christ, to that great high priest. And so how to balance all these things out, I'm not sure, but I don't think that's important that we figure out how, you know, how that in one sense, a person being filled with the Holy Spirit and the power to overcome sin should be able to live a life above sin. But we all know that, you know, as long as we live here, we will be warring against the flesh, and to how to, you know, it's sort of a mystery there. But we do know that we have scripture that that if we do find ourselves in a place of condemnation, that we can come to the cross and lay our every burden down at the feet of Jesus, and he will receive us. I praise the Lord for that this morning, that Jesus is still receives sinful men, and that his blood has the power to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise the Lord, and may the Lord be with you today.